Session number 8229.
Mr. Collins, tape 3. So, could you now tell me about the tank call? You've explained how you felt it couldn't be any worse than being in the 1st Northampton Infantry.
Yes.
What actually happened to you when you joined? Were you taken away for special training?
No, you see, we volunteered. He put my name down for the tank call, but he called it the suicide mob, you see. But he said, I think it's the tank call. So we went anyway. And I said we were down. And we were. But
we went
down, right down, till we got to a YMCA. And the sergeant said, "We're going to stop here, have a cup of tea and a ward." We used to call them wards, they were cakes, you see. And we got a bit of money, but we never used to take money in action if we could help it. But if you look at my pay books, you'll see all those officers signed their name for the day they paid us out. That's, you see, they signed their name and paid us out. And that's interesting, that book, to see how much I got. You see, I got more money when I got into the tank corps, you see, than I had in the infantry, because the infantryman was a mug, you know. He done most of the unbearable things, putting up with the cold and short rations. When they used to bring the rations up, you know, I used to come up at night. This is when we was out on rest. Well, they'd done them in the trenches as well, and they'd done it more comfortable when we were out. I used to bring the rations up, and I used to bring cigarettes up as well. And they used to be, what they were called, I'm sure, Ruby Queen, one of them. They were cigarettes, 10 in a packet. They used to bring them up in a bag. And I used to tip the bag over and lift them out like that there. And I said, "Come, help yourselves, help yourselves." And as many a time we've eaten the rations for the next day, the same night, we've been so hungry. And then, you see, you had to do the best you could the next day. Or it didn't happen every day, but occasionally. If you were eating your rations, you see, you'd only got your iron rations. You always had iron rations, biscuits, you see. I'm telling you about these old parsons as well. Sometimes when you was out the trenches, they'd come round in the, you know, you say you sat there in the afternoon, you know, out on rest, they'd come and he'd say to you, of course, he got to know you. They were very, very, they didn't understand really, but they were very, very good at looking after things regular, and they used to come up sometime and they'd say, "Freddy." I did call me Freddy. Many of them did have done since. And He said, I had a letter from a lady named so-and-so, so-and-so. And she wanted to know whether I knew her boy, whether he wanted to know that, whether I knew her boy. He'd been missing for, say, 2 or 3 weeks. And she hadn't heard, and she was frantic. Well, you know, it's very seldom we could help them because they were either killed or missing. You see, if they were missing, they used to write about them because they weren't sure whether they ever took prisoners. You see, if they were taken prisoners, you see, they got a chance, you see. But if otherwise they hadn't, and then he'd... He'd say, well, yeah, he said, if you do hear anything, he said, I used to write to him and ask him what if he could do anything. He said, when a man was killed or anything like that, he was officially notified. And when they were missing, they were notified. And so that's the reason the ladies used to write, you see. Or whoever it were, it might have been a sister or anything like that. But anyway, they were very good, them old chaplains. And of course, I never used to be in the danger zone much. But I did see an old priest in the danger zone. I'll tell you about him sometime when I get to the battle.
Well, tell me about that now while you're talking about the Padres.
About what, dear?
Yeah, you tell me about the old priest now because we've been talking about the Padres. So tell me that story now about the Padre in the battle line.
Well, there was many battles, you see, and Ypres, that's when it were. Ypres was a real washout for the tanks. We lost a lot of men, we lost a lot of tanks, and it was a great blunder. Obviously, we could easily see that. We were sailing along there, riding, and all of a sudden, we was hit. A shell had struck the track, you know, the track that goes round. It hit the track, and the track stood up like that. So we was finished for travelling, you see. And we were under terrible gunfire. Our object was Menin Road, you see. You heard about the Menin Road. And you know, you wouldn't believe the shells. They were just going over the top of the tank, whiz-bangs like, and... That wasn't a very big shell, it hit that track, but it broke it, you see. But I was shelling big ones as well. And the state of the ground was terrible. Great pits of, you know, water and dead mills and the stench was indescribable. That was Ypres. And we got the commander of the tank. He was in with us. And he got out and tried to find another tank. You see, we stopped where we were because we should only have been killed if we'd have got outside. Because he was in there like a salient, you see. He said it's one to never ought to have been. And he got towards dawn, and Officer Thompson, Lieutenant Thompson, I mean officer in charge of the tank, he said, "Well, chaps," he said, "we're going to make a run for it." He said, "If I catch us here when it's light," he said, "we're done." So, what we done? We run out two at a time, and I explained where it were. We knew where we a spot where we were going to be safe, and so we run out two at a time, and then the plane. Now his planes are there. Then they were devils. They were. They come round, swoop, odd ones, you know, odd planes come round and gunfire you. And we used to get in shell holes and that. Every little while they come round, and but we were very, very, very lucky. You could see the bullets going round. Tops the shell hole and one night we were on. But anyway, and we come to another shell hole, and there was two men lay there dead. Now, I knew them. And one with the brat, he was the officer. And his driver with him. They both lay there. The officer's brains blew out. And the other man, he was... And do you know, there was an old priest there, dressed in a black cloak, and got a round hat on. And he got his book, giving the last... they call it the last recites, do they? Yeah, and you know, I wouldn't believe it. But I've seen it with my own eyes. And I knew these men, they weren't in their company, but they was in the battle before that, because I've seen them then, in the Battle of the Scenes. And they were both... Where the others were, I don't know. But these two men we know. And we got safely to the spot where there was, I think, about 12 men there. And we got back to the camp, Dicky Bush. And...
Well, that's very interesting, you know, to hear about... a parson so close to the front. Now, could we go back to when you first joined the tank corps?
Yes.
You were saying about how you went to the YMCA and had your cake and a drink. What happened to you then? You know, how were you introduced to your tanks?
We went into this YMCA and had cake and that, and there was... a fella come in, it's about 11 o'clock in the morning, big camp there, and there were no end of troops there. And he got on this piano, and he played, you know, we hadn't seen a civilian or anything like that for weeks. And, you know, it sounded brilliant. I'll tell you what he played. Give me your smile, the love light in your eyes. And I don't think I ever heard anything so beautiful in my life. I say you are when you haven't heard it, you know, when you've been months without hearing any music. That's why I used to try and get these concert parties up, because the men used to get so depressed, you see. But it did sound beautiful. And we stayed half an hour, and that done me a lot of good. And then we got down to a place called Saltricore. Now, that's a funny name, but it's a place where the tanks were. There was a tankerdrome there. That's what they used to call it, where the tanks accumulated. But tanks were always camouflaged as much as possible, because they were so valuable. You see, they're so valuable that they had these nets. You get the net over, and interesting, that when we got to Saltricore, we could see it was a big place, an old farm building where we were staying. We used to stay in all these old barn places, you know, when you got down like that. And, you know, snow used to come through the roof and that. Laughable, but anyway, we went to courses there. You see, you had a course of, of course, I didn't want any. You got a man like me. I could turn a machine gun inside out, you see. I had that much experience. And most of the men were like that, who come away. That's why that sergeant didn't like, you know. And but I wasn't too good on the engines. Now, you've got to know all about the engine, you know. A 6-cylinder Daimler. And, but anyway, we were down there. We were down there some time. And then we had exams. And you was either passed. If you passed, you know, they give you your grade and that. Properly, because I had teachers there, but you weren't there too long. And then they used to form a crew, you see. They used to form a crew of eight. They used to be an officer and a driver. Then they used to be... Now, I'm going to tell you now, there were two sorts of tanks, you know. There was the male and the female. The female tank had a 6-pounder gun on it. And the female tank, just the ordinary Lewis guns. See, that like mother and father, if you know. And there's 6-pounders, they were shells about that length.
And they were the male tanks, weren't they?
They were the male tanks. You always remember the male tanks. They were the boss, like, with these guns. They had helicopter shots, and they were all deadly. Oh, yes. I used to follow them, and then the pillboxes, you know, the pillboxes. I used to build them in concrete. And then get inside and snipe and all that. But the old tanks used to have them.
What type of tanks were they that you trained on, the early ones? Can you remember the type of tank?
What
mark they would have been?
Mark 5.
Were they? Mark 5 tanks, yes. Did you ever... Have a whippet? Did you ever try a whippet?
No, there was only one tank when we were out there, and that was the Mark 5.
Was it a good tank?
Oh, bless you, it was the tank. Now, when we... I was the driver, you see.
Were you? Was that your job?
My job was a second driver. You see, there used to be two drivers. You see, they used to aim at the front, you see, and you were in the most dangerous position, you know, because, now, you see, there used to be the... There used to be a little... Say, this is the side of the tank. There used to be a six-pounder here. Then there used to be a machine gun there. Then there used to be the drive up. He sat up in the seat, you see. Well, in the tank, there were little slits like that. Bit like that.
Up 4 inches.
And you could see out of them like that. Well, the devils used to fire at them, you know. And the sparks used to come through. If I wasn't blinded then, it wouldn't wonder. But the sparks used to come through. But they said they got armoured-piercing bullets. But they hadn't, you know. Some of the bullets used to stick in the tank. Now, how good did you want to battle the machines?
Yeah. Now, tell me more about the crew. You know, you said there were two drivers and a machine gunner. Who else in the crew?
There was two machine gunners, you see. There was the driver and the officer. The officer, he was the head one. The driver sat there. And then there was machine gun. And then there was someone, another man. You see, a tank, you had to pull a lever in for it to turn. If you can understand what I mean, you said pull it in gear. And the driver used to have either put it in neutral or first or second. And you see, he had to do that to turn.
And wasn't it very crowded with all these people?
Oh, bless you. Now, I'll tell you, do you know, these crews, they used to be that proud in the tank, you know, were proud of it. And the officers, you can name your own tank. You had eight, you see, you had your eight men. That was the two drivers, the four machine gunners, weren't they? Now there was an officer, and then this is a female tank. One, two machine gunners. Two machine gunners, that's six, isn't it? And now you had to have two men at the back there to pull the gears in, that right? That's how many there were in the tank. Well, they were all pals, you know. They were all pals. And they used to think a lot. And you could choose your own... And you could choose your name of your tank. And that's they thought that'd be a good idea. And it was a good idea. Now, the Officer Thompson, his name, he was a Londoner. He was the officer, and I can name all the crew, and he was the officer, and he said, "What? Any of you chaps got any suggestions for the name of the tank?" So I said, "Well, I don't know, Lord." Well, he said, "If you don't mind," he said, "I'd like to... name the tank Baby Mine." No, I said, "Whatever, Baby Mine." I said, "What's that then?" Well, he said, "I used to know a young lady in London who was in a musical play or something like that, and it was called Baby Mine. Did you ever hear it? Baby Mine?" Did you really? Well, that's what the tank was named. And you know, we got hit the first time, you know. We went in action.
Where was that?
Shall I tell you that?
Yes.
Shall we have a bit of tea?
Well, that's a good idea. But finish your story about Baby Mine, you were saying.
Yeah, well, and you know, this officer, he was that pleased because we got Baby Mine on it. You see, you could have King Jack or anything on your tank if you named it. And we're very proud of the tanks. You see, you always used to have to look after them, keep them greased, the tracks and all that sort of thing. And ammunition used to be in the side of the tanks, so the male tanks with the shells about that length. And the officer, he treated us to a fish and chip, not fish and chip, we couldn't get fish in, eggs and chips, herbs, pomelettes. He said, we'll have a feast on it. And he treated us to, and we used to nearly always be camouflaged. You notice these tanks, they always used to be in a wood or a close penny or like that, and all, so you couldn't find, you couldn't see them, and they were so precious, you see. And I will tell you the story of machines next.
Yes, we'll have a little break and then we'll hear that story. Thank you very much, Mr. Collins.